But yeah, man. Happy Saturday, guys. How's my week been? It's been good. Busy. I figured out what the issue was with me recording and like OBS crashing or OBS lagging really bad. So everything seems like it's going okay right now. Had to do a lot of investigations on that shit. You have a football match tomorrow? Ooh. That's exciting. You excited, Sergey? And yes, Weenie, warmer weather is coming, man.
Your boy is back for that. Like a big sandwich.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. Say something, DC.
Hello.
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Nice. Sorry about that, chat.
It's time to spread some bacon.
Yes. Yes, Tori. Actually, I am. So Monday and Tuesday, I kind of spent most of those days like after work trying to figure out. It got to the point where I was going to install Windows 11 and reinstall OBS. Like I was about to just completely start over because I couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on. But it took me a couple of days to figure it out. I recorded Wednesday and I recorded Thursday. So I'm trying to batch record a few episodes and then I'm going to drop them on the reaction channel. So that's the plan going forward. So, you know, hopefully I'll have those out to you guys like earlier next week. I'm going to be missing one because when I was streaming last night, I forgot to turn off this thing called Source Record. And I ended up recording over the one of the episodes. So too late. It's gone forever.
No.
Yeah, shit happens. But we're not here for that, man. We're here for the podcast. Sorry for the delay, guys. Once again. Hope you guys are good. Happy Saturday and all that jazz stuff. So. Pause the music. Cough.
Word.
Hello. Welcome to episode 181 of the Super Weapon Podcast, most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy Darius Artisan. As always, got my co-host DC here with me today.
What up, though? It's your favorite Mr. Know-It-All who knows nothing at all. But I do know my video games. What's going on, my man? How you feeling?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing all right. How have you been, man? We haven't talked much over the week. I know we were talking a little bit before the pod. You said your week was a little busy, a little work busy.
Man, work busy, life busy. Yeah, just it is a lot going on, you know, but life is lifing. But yeah, it ain't man. Nothing that I can't handle, you know. Got to go fix that alternator, do manly stuff after the pod. You feel me?
Yes, DC, for those of you guys don't know, DC has to actually flip his car upside down with his bare hands to fix it. So
yeah, and shove another alternator in that bad boy.
If you guys don't know how to fix cars, I know I don't know if some of our audience does or not. But nah, man, that's I hope you get that taken care of, man. Yeah, it's been a kind of like a slower week, you know. I really feel like we, you know, don't have a whole lot to talk about. We got a couple fun things to kind of talk about, something not so fun as well. But pretty slow news week outside of the PlayStation news, man. And you know, here we are, you know, once again, you know, another set of layoffs. So Sony announced that they were gonna cut 8% of their staff, which is about 900 to 1,000 employees all across their entire, you know, portfolio studios. So Naughty Dog, Insomniac, and they even ended up closing two studios, man. And this is just once again another reminder of the industry and kind of where we're kind of sitting with everything, you know. And I don't feel like this got enough coverage this week. I feel like we're getting to the point where I feel like people are kind of getting desensitized to this kind of news, and I hate to see that, man. And you know, where did you kind of sit with this? Like, you know, like I said, man, another week, and there were, you know, obviously other layoffs as well, but this one, in my opinion, was kind of like the highest profile. But nobody really, I don't feel like anyone was really talking about it too much.
Well, the media is playing their bullshit games again. I feel like it. I'm just gonna say from how I feel. I feel like when you say these things are like kind of swept under the rug, I feel like they taper them back a little bit just to not cause panic or whatever you want to call it, right?
Right.
Sony not just Sony, even in our personal lives. My second job just had layoffs that affected people. And it's crazy. It's crazy to come to work and you're like, hey, shift looking a little light. Like, where's everyone at? Like, did they call off? Oh no, they got laid off. Like, wait, what? What? Wait a minute, what?
It's like shocking, man. Like, it's, and I hate that people kind of talk about, you know, these people that lose their jobs or, you know, like their numbers, you know, because I kind of read the blog, and the first thing, right, that they say is that the PlayStation community means everything to us. And I just kind of, because I don't know if you saw the picture on Twitter that's been going around of Jim Ryan at the PlayStation London studio 5 days before he was celebrating, because, you know, he's stepping down. But 5 days later, after they took that picture and posted it, they closed the studio. Like, PlayStation London studio is completely gone. And that's just
think,
like,
of the impact, right?
Yeah.
Think,
like,
of that impact. A whole studio in London, those are jobs that people in London, you know, it affects so much. And unfortunately, you know, there's people on the tail end of that who have to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
On a good note, though, those people will probably go on to create other studios, I'm hoping, you know, wishful thinking, because that's usually what happens, right? Like, you know, you have people band together to form another studio and hopefully make, like, an amazing indie game or something. Like, I'm just trying to think positive here, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, but unfortunately, yeah, that's a whole bunch of people affected. Like, you have a whole studio closed. I don't think people really understand the impact that has, not on just the people, but also the gaming community as well. You know, they're shifting games around now. Like, Sony stuff that was supposed to come out is not probably going to see the light of day. DLC content for certain games, certain things are getting, like, X'd. Like, they're either canceling it, or they're trying to figure out, like, what to do with it, or is it worth investing money into these different games and stuff. Like, it's a mess, man. And it's not too, I don't want you guys to think, like, this is, like, you know, this is not like a fearmonger podcast or something, but
nah,
I feel like moments like this is just very teachable. Like, you play these games and you just kind of really don't understand what's going on the back end. And I feel like we have to have these informative conversations, you know what I'm saying? To show that the business is not always going to be sunny side up. You're going to have your bumps. Maybe next week we'll be talking about something amazing that's happening, but it's life. It's life. It's ups and downs.
I think it's important to kind of do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause you know, you have this one group of people who just kind of, like, look at all these great games that have come out over the, like, you know, the last, let's say 10 years, right? Like, you look at just like the quality of those, you know, AAA first party games have kind of hit a unsustainable bar, in my opinion. But, you know, you just had Spider-Man 2 come out. Was it last year? Year before that?
Mm-hmm.
The game, you know, broke numbers, broke records, and Insomniac still had to lay people off. You know, you had Naughty Dog, you know, the studio that's one of, you know, if not Sony's crown jewel, right, had to lay people off. And it's just, it's insane, because this kind of stuff really just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I know we'll never get to see these numbers of wherever they projected the industry to be, but it's really sad to see people that continue to kind of suffer from this kind of stuff. Just like you said, man, you know, somebody that we know personally, you know, he was laid off from a job that, you know, I used to work at, and it's real, man, and it sucks. And I just really don't know where the industry kind of goes from here, because it's not as simple as, and I hate people that continue to say, well, they'll just raise the price of games. That doesn't solve the problem. Like, that's only part of the, you know, of the equation, and in my opinion anyway. And I don't know where the industry is going to kind of, like, end up at a certain point. You know, we're going to continue to see this kind of stuff happen. You know, they ended up canceling, which I was just really bummed about. Like, the Twisted Metal game that they were talking about at Firesprite Studios, that was the other studio that ended up closing.
Right.
And they worked on that Horizon VR game Call of the Mountain, I think it's called. I could be wrong. Somebody in chat, let me know. But yeah, man, and it's, you know, I just once again, like, if you guys know of like any resources, anything that we as a community can do to kind of like, I don't know if there's like a job, you know, jobs or anything, just like resources to help people, because it's already tough enough out here, just like DC said, you know, with the economy looking the way it is, and you know, people are struggling to find work, and it's just going to continue to the belts are going to keep getting tighter, man. As long as these executives like continue to not really do anything, and you know, I kind of hate these public blog posts, and they try to, you know, I feel like they're kind of looking for pity. It's like, but you guys are the ones that are firing these people. Like, you guys are the ones making this decision. And that goes for Phil Spencer. That goes for, you know, Jim Ryan, Hiroki Totoki, the actual CEO, something like, you know, these guys at the top are making these decisions. And, you know, as a result of bad bets that they made. And I just, you know, it just sucks, man. Like, I don't know. I don't want to stay on the soapbox all day, but.
Yeah. We're going to have some fun stuff. Just hang in there. But like I said, I feel like we have to be informative and speak on these situations, because we want to bring a realistic aspect to the gaming world, which you'll have ups and downs. And I feel like the reason why this is important, because sometimes we look at this through our sunny side up, thick glass, happy glass lenses. You know what I'm saying? We'll look at all this stuff and think it's all good. Like you said, hey, Spider-Man sold a gajillion copies, greatest game ever, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But then behind the scenes, you know, behind the scenes, and I hope, this is my thing, I really hope that it's not one of those situations to where you can actually help these people maybe not get laid off if the CEO is not buying a triple deck yacht. I just hope it's just not one of those situations where, because on the top, usually the CEOs and stuff and companies, they have the ability, right, to at least kind of soften the blow. But like you said, that's like a whole tangent. We can go on a whole nother side pod, Patreon, something about that.
I just wonder, right, like looking at where, you know, we always come back to games as a service or live service games that end up, I feel like that is probably, that and microtransactions is probably one of the worst things that has ever happened to the industry. You know, I love Destiny. I love, you know, the ability to kind of invest in the games, and you have good live service games like Helldivers 2 that are out right now that is successful for Sony and, you know, the company Arrowhead. But I feel like that's one of the worst things that ever happened, because you have this continuous, you know, hunger for content, hunger for quality. And, you know,
it was too much. It was too much to keep up with, I feel like.
Yeah. It created this unsustainable ladder, as, you know, and that's the thing with business, right? Like, you always try to make more profit than you did the year before. It's, you know, capitalism. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, you know, once again, you know, that whole COVID projection, like that whole curve just really kind of accelerated things that were already happening to the point that, you know, you look at the industry as a whole and you have these things. Like, I look at companies like Epic with Fortnite and how they've really, I mean, look at how they've kind of monetized that platform. I don't even want to really call it a game anymore. They're partnering with companies like Disney, Lego to do all the, you know, Hot Wheels, doing all this cool, you know, bringing in all this revenue, doing all this cool, these cool things, and, you know, giving their community all these cool experiences. But like, where does it kind of end? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
because now what you're going to get is, and I say this all the time, like Fortnite and stuff, you get companies trying to recreate this model and it doesn't always work for them.
No,
because their universes is not Fortnite's universe. It doesn't, sometimes it just doesn't cross over. And my prime example of that would be like in Fortnite, right? You have every skin available from here to the moon. Every time I turn around, you got Jujutsu Kaisen was just added on there. You got what? Family Guy. You got, they're just, it's a whole bunch of anything that's popular.
Pretty much anything is pop culture. In Fortnite. Yeah.
And so you have Call of Duty who's trying to like duplicate that same thing. And I, Me personally, I don't feel like it landed well. Like, they just added Rick and Michonne on Call of Duty, and I was just like, you had the Nicki Minaj and what was it, 21 Savage, and it's just
they were
weird
Warzone
collabs.
Skins, right?
And I don't play Warzone, so maybe it's popular to people who's playing it. Maybe people wanted those type of skins. I don't know, but I feel like Fortnite has that kind of thing on lock, and you're going to see like a lot of other companies trying to figure out like, oh, well, they're doing this and it seemed to be working for them, so let's try it out. Another example is, I feel like ever since Grand Theft Auto hit their 10-year stride, ever since, like, they are the masters of making money monthly off old content. Like, GTA to this day, GTA 5 online still makes them a handsome amount of money every month.
You could even kind of look at that game as like live service too, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say that, to the point to where GTA literally is a live service game now. Like, they just added more missions, and they, after a billion years of me asking for it, they finally added drift cars. Like, holy shit. Because they saw the popularity of drifting when people were modding it GTA RP. Yeah. So they finally added it, and I'm like, but that brought more people to the game still. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of companies trying to figure it out, and I just feel like you said, there's going to be a lot of misses. Like, live service ain't hit really since Destiny. Like, think about it. Tell me another game that's been successful.
And I mean, oh man, you look at where that game is right now. There was I saw something on Twitter, like the pre-orders for the Final Shape, which is supposed to be that's supposed to be like the culmination of everything that the story's been leading up to for 10 years. You know, the pre-orders for that are down. They just had layoffs.
Nobody cares.
A couple of months ago, and it's crazy. It's so insane, man. And
now, I'm not trying to be insensitive to the layoffs, right? But as far as the Final Shape goes, from what I'm just reading in my daily travels of Reddit and the internet, people have lost interest a long time ago. No one seems to care.
And the community, the community just, it took a turn.
Imploded?
It's so unfortunate, man. And like I said, I just don't know where companies are going to go from here, and how they, like, when I say they, I mean, Sony, Microsoft, and shout out to Weenie Chaz. Well, he mentioned Nintendo, Satoru Iwata did take that pay cut. You know, he's the CEO of Nintendo, and he didn't want to lay anybody off. I forget when that was.
What I'm talking about.
It just gets to the point where, I could talk a lot about Nintendo. Their business model is so holistically different from Sony and Xbox at this point that I don't think they'll ever have to truly worry about. Let me not say it, because no business is immune to it, but I don't foresee them having like mass layoffs, just because they're really smart about the properties that they have and how they kind of, prop them up. I mean, they just had the Pokemon presentation last Thursday. I don't know if you saw that. We can talk about that really quick. You know, that completely took over the internet for, a couple of days. And, 2025 is auspiciously, so very suspicious, because that's when the rumored Switch 2 is supposed to come out. So they're going to have some bangers next year, I feel like, lined up for that. And I think, I swear, man, going to get a Mario game. I promise y'all, there's going to be a Mario game that comes out next year.
Hey, man. Whatever. Look, Nintendo, a.k.a. the Mafia, man.
Whatever the gaming doing, mafia. Like,
the gaming mafia. Them boys, they don't miss, man. And when you drop anything Pokemon, I don't care how cheeks it is, it's gonna move units, bro. Pokemon is one of them ones. So
it's Nintendo, the most popular franchise on Earth, actually. Like, I think it's I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain it's the most popular media franchise on Earth, which is insane.
Hey, man, look.
Your grandmother knows who Pikachu is what he's saying.
Pretty much, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah man, it's unfortunate. Yeah. And hopefully everyone who suffered from any kind of layoffs, even real, like, within our community, if you know people, hopefully you know, we can just all bounce back, because it's tiring. It's exhausting. It really is. Like, it people is, going to work and just wondering if you're going to have a job. It's a mental stress. It causes anxiety, and it just, yeah, it's up there. So
nobody likes living in uncertainty, man. And, you know, hopefully,
yeah, my other job, people walk, like, they're walking around on eggshells now because they feel like they got to super produce or they're going to get let go. And
no more, just, no more joking on the, in, you know, on the clock, man. Everybody's working now. So that sucks.
Unless you're me, I'm still joking.
And then, you know, you retire, and, you know, when you're 92 or whenever they race it to. But anyway,
you retire when you're 92. Then you play games till you're 93. Then guess what? You're in the upper room.
Then you can you never finish, which is the most important thing. You never finish your backlog is what we're getting at here, guys.
But I did get a little bit of information from heaven. You can finish your backlog in heaven. Just saying.
Ooh, you got all the time in the world.
Hey, God loves games.
All right, man.
Just saying.
Speaking of God, man, let's talk about Halo, man. You know,
my favorite topic.
You know, we haven't talked about the Halo TV show since season one, and I didn't finish it. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I didn't finish the last episode. I was kind of
I dragged my way through it.
Yeah, I was kind of through with the series. DC finished it, and he started watching season two. I don't know if anybody in who's listening to this, our audio listeners, anybody in chat, if you guys have watched the Halo TV show, man. But I would love to hear just like your overall thoughts, because they're what, four or five episodes in at this point?
We are at five as of Thursday.
Five episodes in. So it's on Paramount Plus if you guys are curious. This is not an ad. I'm just, you know, if you guys are interested in watching it, that's where it is. You can watch it on Paramount Plus. So how are we kind of feeling about season two, man? Let's give a little bit of a... Where are we in the story after the end of season one? Light spoilers. If you don't want to hear any spoilers, you got 5 seconds to leave.
Hey, man,
five,
I'm telling you right now.
Four, three.
Spoilers.
Two, one. Plug your ears.
Spoiler heavy, because I'm telling you the whole story.
He's going to put the word spoiler on video on YouTube.
Yeah, we'll put it on video. Big spoilers, big fat spoilers. Hey, we may even get a few people to go watch it. Hey, Paramount, pay my bills, please. yeah. So... Basically, season two is basically, if you keep up with Halo lore, it's pretty much surrounding the events of Reach and the fall of Reach. And I'm going to be honest with you, it kind of won me back over. I'm going to be honest.
Whoa.
Be completely honest. Season one, I'm not going to lie to you. We said our feelings on season one. I think I may have blown an interview with one of the cast members on season one because I just thought season one was
bad. Man, mediocre. I'll say it again.
Hey, I was actually talking to one of the actresses on Instagram. This is a true story. I had to keep my integrity, and he was trying to
bring her onto the podcast.
I was just like, yeah, I was just,
yeah, this was a couple years ago,
yeah,
right?
It's a story behind that. It's going to be behind a paywall. We creating a Patreon, damn it.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I said some things and I think I might've scared her away, but, I had to be honest. I wasn't mean. I was just like,
it wasn't,
it's not it.
It was just, it was too different. You know, season one to
we
me.
We saw Master Chief's butt. Like, I've never seen Chief cheeks in my life. I saw more of his cheeks than his face.
So season two turned it around for you. What about season two was it? So that has it been so far that kind of won
it's,
you over?
It won me. Well, so this is what I need people to understand. Everything doesn't have to be about action. You just have to have very good writing, okay? What I want to tell Paramount, what they did was that, to me, in my opinion, I feel like they had a really good buildup to episode four. Four is when shit hits the fan and everything gets crazy. Four is literally an episode action packed from beginning to end because it's the fall of Reach. Like, the Covenant comes on the planet. They're blowing shit up. People are dying. This show spares no, like, it's wild. I'm talking about body parts flying, kind of wild. Now, season one, I mean, he did throw a grenade in there and blow up a whole village of kids. So the show is wild.
They're hitting the more mature type. Okay.
Yeah, so it season, I mean, season two, episodes 1, 2, and 3 is a build up to like the fall of Reach happening, right? All the events of Reach falling.
Right.
Basically, you have, I also feel like, because in season one, what the Spartans ended up doing was, I don't like, if y'all watch season one, they had something removed from them to where it suppressed their emotions. So in season two, you have like the Spartans,
Oh.
I don't want to say dealing with their emotions, but they have a little more, they're not so stiff, robotic. They have a little more humor to them. It's not over the top humor. Don't, it's not like Marvel try to force jokes in when not needed, but they're joking around with each other more. They have a more human side to them in season two. And I thought that was kind of cool because like I said, it wasn't overly done, especially with I hope I'm saying his name right, Vanak 134, because he was really just stiff in season one and just militant and yes, chief, blah blah blah
They
blah
were
blah. Like,
super, yeah. They were just so
yeah, like
uninspiring,
him,
man.
Riz, all of them, they were kind of just stiff and it was almost at a point where they were kind of unbearable on screen. But since they had their, I'll call it emotional regulators removed. That's not the term. That's what I'm calling it. But ever since they had that removed from them, like you could see them, like they're taking off their suits and they're joking in the locker room, and
Right.
they're joking around with Cobalt team. Like it's like, oh, you got feelings now, so you think you're all that, and it fits. It fits. It sound kind of corny, but if you watch it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So with that being said,
I mean, like, even just to touch on that, like, in the games and in, a lot of the animated stuff and the books, you have Spartans that they have like their own personalities. They aren't just,
yeah,
and I
Chief is
think,
still stiff though. Chief is
yeah,
still like kind
see,
of a hard ass, you know?
right. Chief is definitely more militant and everything. So I didn't, I, it wasn't his. I think what got me about season one is that they flipped it. You had Chief showing more emotion. He was more, a little bit more human. But you had like the other Spartans, like you just mentioned, they were very they were, to even call them background characters would give them like a would be a compliment in my opinion. But
Yeah.
so they've kind of changed that in season two, which is good to
They're
hear.
slightly a little more like, especially Kai 125. Remember, she was the first one to remove her regulator. So
Right.
she's really, it's almost like a kid in the world. Like everything is like
Oh, okay, I got you. I got you.
she's experiencing everything for the first time. She's kind of all over the place.
Right.
Riz is still kind of like a hard ass, but due to what happened to her in season one with her getting hit with a plasma grenade, she's like not really herself in season two. She's kind of like she's trying to fight through this pain, and there's a scene where they're in training and they're chasing her, and like Chief is whooping her ass. Like basically he's not letting up, because I feel like they made it to the point where he's not catching it. Like, yo, she's like still messed up. He's still going 100% full throttle and she's struggling, but he's not really seeing it. So
Not pulling no punches.
there's this background thing going on to where the Covenant pretty much is on Reach. They keep having these issues with these satellites and all this stuff, and the Covenant is trying to shut down their satellites. And
So did it kind of follow the same basic way that they invaded, or?
no, this is like totally different from the
Okay.
books that you read or the Reach movie. Like it totally, it's none of that.
Okay.
So, without, I'm paraphrasing here, there's some things going on. Chief pretty much finds out that the Covenant is already there. He's trying to warn the higher ups, and this guy, and before the pod, I did some extensive digging just to find out this jackass's name.
He's almost not a real person.
Yeah, it was hard to find information on him. Like, it's crazy. There's a new guy in the season. He takes over the Spartan program from what's her name? God, I'm forgetting. The lady who raised the Spartans.
Yeah,
What's
I'm
her
blanking her
name?
name too. Hold on. Yeah, I was gonna say Amanda Waller just to be an idiot.
Oh, you stupid. Oh, you stupid. So on season one, the lady who was originally over the Spartans, who raised them,
Dr. Halsey, Catherine Halsey,
he replaces her. She's like in some kind of jail or something because of the events of season one. So the guy, James Eckerson, replaces her, and he's a douchebag. He's a D-bag. So Chief is trying to tell him, like, yo, they're already here. They're plotting on something. We need to get ready.
Oh, wow.
He's ignoring the Chief. Well, he's like, no, Spartan. They're not here. So they're basically making it seem like Chief is crazy. Everybody's treating him like he's crazy. And he's right. There's there. So season four comes, all hell breaks loose. And it's just so good. It's really good. The build up and then the actual episode four and episode five, it kind of shows the results of what happened on Reach. Big time spoiler. I'll just say this. Somebody didn't make it on episode
four. There was a major character who passed.
There was a major character who got a needle to the chest. I'll just say that.
That's a bad way to go, Chad. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a needler gun, but that, oh man.
Yeah, he has a needle to the chest and it exploded. Yeah, it was. Oh, it's God. Just as bad as it sounds. I don't want to spoil that for you, so I'm going to let y'all. That's the cliffhanger.
No, that's fine. That's fine. So do you feel like finally the show is on the right track to kind of tell?
Oh, man. You know why? Because they got rid of these stupid, pointless human stories that nobody cared about in season one. They're still there lingering around, but I fast forward them parts. I'm not going to even lie. I fast forward that shit because I don't care. Who is it? The girl Quan and Mobeam Woodbine. I've been banned of saying his name. Wait, I'll say his name.
Man. I'll say his Woodbine. Name. It's fine.
AKA Saren 066. He used to be a Spartan until something happened with his arm.
He agrees with you. She can kick rocks, is what he said.
Yeah, so they have these parallel stories with Bokeem Woodbine. Saren 006 is his Spartan name, and Quan, and I just don't get it. I don't care. Their stories.
He was such a heel in the first season. I hated him in the first season. I'm gonna just be honest with you. He was not my favorite.
It was
guy,
like
though. He was
so
a jerk.
Basically, Saren 00066 is a space pirate, right?
Right.
He used to be a Spartan, now he's a space pirate. I couldn't even tell you what's going on. All I know is he's looking for his son in season two. Quan, I don't freaking know her purpose. Maybe y'all can tell me. Like I said, I fast forward. If you fast forward all over all her parts, it's an awesome show. They need to.
I just don't understand, like, what her purpose is. What is the,
yeah, me neither.
The
it's like
end goal for it, you know?
Cause in season two, she finally, okay, episode five, right? Her and Chief finally cross paths. All of them kind of get together. Saren, Quan, and Chief. Eventually, they flee Reach because they the ones who saved Master Chief when, yeah, there was a gravity hammer involved. There was some brutes, and they do such a good job capturing all the Covenant.
Right,
there are different ranks and stuff. The Covenant looks good, man. They look good. Like, the CGI looks pretty good. All the vehicles too, man. The Scorpion tank, they nailed it. Like, it looked great. But basically, Bokeem Woodbine character comes and helps the Chief and them escape, and Quan is with them. They're on this planet. This is episode five, and I think what they want to show in this episode is Riz really starts to, like, she takes some injuries in the episode before on top of the plasma grenade she got in season one, right?
Sure.
So she's beat. She's like done. She's beat the hell up. Like, and she comes to realization that there's a lot of stuff that I'm not telling you in season four. You have to watch it. But basically it builds up to her. She's beat, man. She's just like, yo, fuck it. I'm done. Like, she don't want to fight anymore. Like, after the spoiler death of someone who died in episode four, after seeing people die all around her, like,
I like the, she just burned out. The writing and everything. And shout out to Tori in chat. I agree with him, man. It does sound like And would you say it's a good jumping in point for someone like who, you know, let's say you
did. You can watch season two and not even watch season one, honestly.
So usually, you know,
you can
so,
watch
so
season. Skip, you can start from season two.
So skip the Spartan Cheeks. Okay, the master.
I mean, if you like, hey, if the look, if you like cheeks, and if that's your, you know, that's your thing, you want to see some pasty white cheeks. I mean, go for season one. But you could literally start from season two, and I hope that this direction that they're going in, I hope that they keep going. Like I said, me personally, I understand that everything cannot be action packed. Unlike my brother, who needs like 24-hour action. Yeah, that's a jab at you. I know you're listening. But yeah, if they get that perfect blend, because like episode five, after episode four was so action-packed, five kind of slowed the pace down. There was like action in the beginning, and it dealt with a lot of dialogue because I think the episode really wanted to focus on Rez.
Like, I like that kind of stuff personally. Like,
I think it's good, but it has because it's good writing. And like, there's a whole bunch of stuff, like I'm saying, that I'm leaving out because I don't want to totally spoil it. But like, Riz, sure, she goes through like a lot this season. Like, she's getting beat. Like, and then they show her body. And like, if you see her body and like her skin and like all the wounds and like, she's just like, and one of the guys who was close to her, it was an ex-Spartan older dude. He kind of like was her mentor to an extent. He ended up dying on when they were leaving Reach. He died an awful death, man.
Don't spoil it. And I think that was the,
yeah, I'm not going to say, but I believe that was a turning point. And then the fact that, you know, the higher ups pretty much left them on Reach because they had to make a decision. They took their important resources and was like, this is all we can make it out of here with without being detected or whatever. So I feel like she felt like the people she was fighting for kind of abandoned her. So all this stuff compiled onto her. See, the episode five, I think she just snapped. She was just like, this shit's not worth it, man. Like, and it was a very good scene because, like, the chief was yelling at her. It was one of those, it was a like a powerful scene. Like, the chief was like, get up, we got to go.
Yeah.
And she was just sitting there and was like, I'm done. And he was like, get up. Like, he's in her face yelling at her. And he's like, you hear me, soldier, get up. And she's just like, she stands up and she's like, I don't have it in me anymore. And she hugs him and you can see her emotions.
Yeah.
The chief don't have any, like, the hug was so awkward because he's not hugging her. He's looking at her like he's pissed. He's looking like he's calling her all kinds of names in his head.
Robot and then he just chief, walks away. Bro, don't you hug me, bro. We got enemies.
He's like, bro, he was like, yo, they just fucked up Reach. This how you gonna
right.
do
it? Oh, that's so
like
funny.
We got chief was on some. We got to get some get back. He was get back gang.
Chief,
he like, yo.
Chief was ready to spin the block, man. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Chief was like, it's Women's Month. I ain't gonna do it. But chief was wilding. That's all I'm gonna say. Chief was wilding, bro. And so he just walked away. And Hensley came, and she was like, Dr. Hensley came. She was like, kind of like, are you sure? But she understood.
Yeah.
She was just like, I get it, you know, and. She wanted to stay behind for other reasons, but that's going to lead into spoilers of who died. You got to go watch it. But yeah, it was, it had that emotional moment to it. And then there was one part. Hey man, hold on. Cause my man deserved his proper respect. I got his name right here. He needs to get it, man. Danny Sapani. I believe that's his name. I'm so bad with names, but he was, the guy who played, Captain Jacob Keys. Hey, get that man an Oscar, man. Hey, listen to me.
I get that man an Oscar.
Listen to me. That man gave the speech of the year, God damn it. Hey, when they were taking over Reach and he gave that speech, hey, man, real tear, man. Real tear. He got me. He got me, man. He freaking got me, man, because he was just basically like, look, guys, we're going to die. Hey, but we're going to get as many humans out of this bitch as we can. But that wasn't the speech, obviously. Like, his speech was way more impactful.
Was,
I wish
was
I knew
more,
it word
more
word.
As they say, poignant. You know, more,
yeah,
more
he
fancy.
Like, he just got the people together like, look, I know this looks like ass. It is ass. We're gonna die, but we're gonna save as many motherfuckers as possible. Like, it was, yeah, the speech was good, man.
Just watch it, Chad. If you wanna hear the speech, you gotta watch the show.
Watch
the
show. Look, man, this is not an ad, but I feel like when there's good TV out, I'm gonna talk about it. Damn it. And as much as I talk crap about season one, I feel like it's only fair to give them their flowers. So the speech was incredible, man. He introduced John, and everyone didn't even know what he looked like without his suit. And so when the people figured out it was Master Chief, like, everybody got hype.
Of course. So
yeah, and Chief was in there boxing, but that boy was in there boxing them Covenant. I'm talking about throwing hands. This man ran in the crowd. It was just beating them, bro. It was hilarious, man. But
God.
Ended up. I feel like the lead.
If you had to give it a score at this point, you know, it's not, the season's not over.
The whole season?
No, the season's not over, right? So
I think they're doing 8 episodes, so I think they got 3 more episodes.
If you had to give it a score for yourself at this point, you know, a scale of 1 to fun.
It's in there, man. They're doing good with the pacing. I feel like they're doing good with the action. They're giving us a lot of fanfare in there as far as, like, just, like I said, vehicles, elite, everything just looks good, even from how the weapons shoot. The Spartan rifles. I ain't gonna lie. Hey, yo, designer. What is it? The costume designer.
Yeah.
The human helmets need a little work. I ain't gonna lie. Them shits dumb big.
The Spartan helmets.
It looks like them shits was. No. The humans just like regular.
Marines. Oh, sure. Okay.
Man, them helmets big as hell. Look like them shits are going. You shake your head wrong, that shit gonna fall off. But one to fun, man. I give it right before fun. A 9-point fun.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I really.
That's pretty,
like,
high
I
praise,
said,
man.
I know our guy, Iron Bangle, is a huge Halo fan. One of our guys who supports in the shadows. We see you, brother. I know he's a huge
fan.
Iron
Bangle, man.
Yeah. I would love to hear how he feel about it as well. But yeah, it's the pacing. It's all about the pacing, man, and good writing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be super action packed. You know what I'm saying? I think the voice of Cortana is awesome. Jen Taylor, I believe, is the voice of Cortana.
Yeah, I think
she's doing a great job. I feel like Cortana could look a little more Cortana-ish, but that's just nitpicking. You know what I'm saying? It still was. It's great, man. I recommend it. I really would recommend this to anybody who's a Halo fan now. Season 2. Recommending one. No, you watch one on your own accord at your own risk. That's some bullshit. All right.
I'm going to check it out.
Only thing that you need to know going into season 2 that you need to carry over from 1 is Riz took a plasma grenade to the ribs. That's all you need to know, because it'll explain why her body is so destroyed. Like, I'm telling you, her body's raggedy. Like, because they show her a lot, like, in
I mean, that's
training.
Gotta hurt, you know, that, you know, plasma, like, that, ugh, a lot.
Luckily,
ugh.
She had her suit on, because she would have died without it.
Goodness gracious.
And,
it's pretty awful.
They're training a lot, and they're in the locker room, and she's in a sports bra, or whatever, and you could see her stomach and her shoulder, it's like skin blown off, like, she's beat, so, but she's a tough son of a bitch, and, you know, it's Women's Month, so she gets right back in there, you know, she gets right back into action. They're trying to, like, she's trying to cover it up because she don't want to look weak in front of the chief. So yeah, there's a lot of side story with that going on. But hey,
make sure you watch it.
9-point fun is what I'm rating.
9-point fun out of 1 to fun, guys. So that's Halo, man.
Hold on. I'll take it down. I'll take it to an 8-point fun.
Ooh,
there's a
whole
reason
point.
Why. There's a little bit of Quan in there that messed it up for me.
Oh man. That's fair.
I don't like her character, and it's nothing against the actress. Hey, look, just nothing against you. It's just, if you know the story, it's just like, if y'all gonna do that, right? If put her in Halo universe and make another show.
They won't do that.
Her and Bo-Keem could have had another show. All right, in Halo universe. He does it.
And on that note, man. Oh my god.
You don't like
No, I don't. You know, now I don't want to watch the show. Don't watch the Halo show, guys. Don't listen to him. He's a
bad judge of character. Hey, no. Look. Bokeem has some funny parts in season. He has some funny parts in season two that's gonna make you laugh, man. Oh, and that gravity hammer and that was awesome. Good. Whoever's creating these elites, good job. Good job. Y'all really nailed it. Good job.
All right, man. That's awesome. Yeah, man, so that's Halo, man. I guess I might try to watch it this weekend, maybe report back next week.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
We could talk a little bit more about it.
You see things that other people don't see.
I didn't hate season one. I was just disappointed. So maybe as long as it's, you know, you told me there's no butt cheeks. So that's my big one.
No, only thing that may make you mad is, well, some people were complaining because Chief wasn't in his suit.
I don't
but
tell
that
me.
Goes
That's
with
fine.
The story.
I'm just watching. Like, I'm gonna go in and watch it with fresh eyes.
The guy who's playing Chief too. Shout out to him, man.
Yeah, he got a lot.
I
of
think
hate
he's
for
doing a good
one,
job.
So. Yeah, he got a lot of hate for season one, but yeah, man.
I was part of that hate, but I want to redact a little bit of some of that hate.
Yeah. So if you guys ever want to come back on, we'll be here.
Look, I'm. No, I can't say that, can I?
We'll be here. All right, man. I mean. I think that's a good place to end, man. I mean, we could talk about some gaming, like stuff we've been playing, but maybe we should save it for next week, I guess. I don't know if next week is going to be slow or.
Oh, you trying to spread that butter?
Yeah, you know, until Dragon's Dogma hopefully. 2 come out, man. I'm kind of in a holding pattern. I mean, yeah, well, we might have a guest
next
on next week.
We have a guest.
That's very true. Yeah. So
we're trying to secure that right now.
Yeah, so yeah, I guess we should announce that, guys. We are planning to have on a few ladies during Women's History Month. You know, it's very important now that things have kind of slowed down for me and DC a little bit. You know, me and the family kind of settled into the home. You know, we're looking to have more guests on this year. We're shooting for some bigger fish as well. Very excited to see, you know, who we can pull in and talk to, man. I'm very excited about it. And once we have more information, you'll have it.
Church.
All right, guys. I think it's a good place to rapper and snapper, man. Thank you guys for hanging out for episode 181, first podcast of the month in March. You know, bing, 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 you know, round of applause and all that. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit of slower month. Until Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out. Final Fantasy 7 came out, of course. A lot of people are playing that. Let us know what you guys think about Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth if you're playing it. Either down in the comments or if you're listening to this on the audio version, man, or if you're in chat, let us know. But that's going to be it, man. Thank you guys for hanging out. That's going to be end of the episode. You can find me everywhere. Darius the Artist, youtube.com, Darius the Artist. Follow me on Artist Reacts as well on YouTube as well. So youtube.com, Artist Reacts. Your boy's back up spinning. Now that I fixed all my technical issues, we back. We coming, baby. March is going to be a good month for us. So I'm gonna let DC have the floor, man.
And I'm on the flow and I'm breakdancing. Maybe not. yes, definitely. I would love to have a discourse with you guys about Halo 2. So come on over to the Discord and let's have a talk. I would love to talk to you guys and see how receptive to season 2 you guys are after you watch it. If you haven't watched it already. Also, it is Women's History Month. We want to drop a little nugget. Shout out to, Sarah Bond. We'll throw that
big
first nugget out.
Sarah Bond, you know. Xbox, Big Bond.
Yeah. We're going to get a list of people in the industry that we want to, you know, just spotlight, highlight. I think that would be a cool thing to do for Women's History Month. Ladies History Month. We are also lining up a few guests. It's been really hard. And it's not due to anyone's fault.
Nah.
It's just shuffling the pieces. Everyone has lives, you know, so we just trying to lock a few things in. And, you know, we're really flexible with the schedule. So even if we don't get them in this month, maybe it'll be next month. But we'll, you know, we're still celebrating ladies no matter what. No matter what, we'll be celebrating the ladies. So that's all I have been, you know, just be safe out here, you know. Prayers to anyone who's going through it because of job loss. We're going to keep our heads up high during these rough times. Come here to escape with us, play some games with us, and just kind of get your mind off life. come here and hang with your boy, you know?
We're gonna hang and bang, guys. Thank you guys for hanging out, man. It's gonna be the end of the audio version. If you guys are in chat, heck around, man. We're gonna spread some democracy today, man. We were gonna play Spider-Man 2, but we're gonna spread some democracy in Helldivers 2.
Because that makes everyone happy.
Yes. Democracy. Yes. So we will see you guys next week. Peace.